I'm so grateful that I ask for the influx of ideas and inspiration and motivations for being here because I think everything that has been put in the circle is already a huge demonstration of what Ernie in his writings are really talking about. It's about science meeting religion. Where is that place? Is there a place where it just meets, or is there a separation? Right? And so, Ernest, what an inspired person. He is in the realms of Moses and everybody else from the Old Testament. I always put him among the best in terms of inspiration. But what Val has said, and Connie and Beth and David and Lorianne and you, Felicia, sorry, is that it's all already here. The blessings are here. We are all blessings. And we are all in the I am stages of experiencing life. All right, I am satisfied with, and you name it. Well, I am satisfied with could also mean I am sad right now. And that could also be in the moment and being realistic with our environment. So I am satisfied comes from a place within that sees me as I am. And that went right directly into what Beth said, where she's, it is what it is, right? It's our life. And it's life living us, and it's we living life. It's just what our experiences are. And then it got blown out of the water with the combination of Miss Lavanya doing her thing at home and talking about all the different cultures and blessing each culture in the state of the world as we know it, in the very physical world. We see a lot of separation. We see dissonance. We hear dissonance. We see wars. We are hearing things that seem not to be in connection with who we truly are inside, the things that we are satisfied with. The place that we come from to even say, I am satisfied, has to be a space of being in balance with the universe. And yet we see the ups and downs. But from the mouth of children, of babes, came the unity and the knowledge and the knowingness of what life truly is, what the depiction of life is. And I had dinner with my friend Grace yesterday, and we were, she's here from China and representing, going to different schools, universities, and just trying to get people, students to come to China so they can teach in China. And one of the things she had said was, it's not only about teaching, it's about sharing who you are. It's about sharing your culture. So far too long, our cultures have been like so enclosed and separated and individualized. But just the fact that people are realizing that we can stay in our kitchens or in our homes and bless the world, for some reason that just starts to sort of remove the walls of separation, remove the walls of maybe hate, maybe not having goodwill for one another, And just having the blessings of who we are inspire us and inspire the world. And that's what I got in a way from Ernest Holmes, The Meeting Place of Science and Religion. So Ernest said that as us as religious scientists, I know we're trying to get away from those words, but this is an inspired reading. And so it must have come from a place where he has seen the worldliness, the environment mixed with spirituality or religion. And I think that's where he was coming from, and not as obviously a scientist with the atoms and so on, although he does mention that stuff, all right. So he said, a religious scientist is not one who assumes himself to, who assures himself that there is a right way or a wrong way, that there is good and there is bad, that there is limitation and freedom, sickness and death, etc., etc. He said, it's not even one that experiences our world as being illusion, or maybe experiences our world as being very physical. He said, it's not even that. He said, a religious scientist knows that there is a mind common to all people, and that this mind is perfect, and man has access to it. So the mind that Lavanya is talking about and is sending out those healing, blessing waves like we did here this morning is already the mind that she has accessed, and there is nothing to block her. There is no obstacles in her way. So she sees it so clearly. We have gone through, stages of obstructions. You know, we've taught right and wrong, you know, do it this way or not at all, black and white kind of thing, right? We've been taught that if it's sickness, then something must be wrong. And because something has to be wrong, then you're put into a category of care and all that. But what Ernest is saying is that, yes, there can be the physical environment, but there can also be the knowing and the reminder that behind all of this, even the physical, that there has been a place of absolute void, absolute nothingness. There was in the beginning nothing. And this nothing has infused us throughout history. So it looks like there is no beginning and no ending, because it's just a constant flow of consciousness throughout. And the way we access this consciousness is the degree to which we are able to intelligently either understand it or be open and acceptable to it. So he went on to say that man is immortal, not because they chose to be or because they are Christians or Jews or pagans, but they are immortal because we are all divine. And this is the divinity that infuses humanity. Lavanya is right. Humanity is all the different people of the world, inside and outside of this universe. Humanity. So, man, so it's because we are divine, and man is an inlet to this mind. So, as much as we want of the mind, our inlets are wider and bigger and whatever. And I don't think it's a blaming or it's a shaming or anything like that, but to the degree that we are open to this divine mind, to the divinity that is in our flow, I would say, because, you know, he talks about us being inlets. So as big as we need our inlet to be to experience God, to experience the divine, or as small as our inlets are, we are accessible to this. There are no third persons. It's God and it's us. It's the divinity. So man is immortal because he's made of immortal stuff. So Ernest had talked about, you know, the stuff before, where even before atoms and all that. And then there was this huge amount of physical activity and things that I don't fully understand, right? But he ventured to talk about how the physical world was enmeshed with the divine, which was enmeshed with the spiritual world. But at the same time, they were different. They were separate. All right. He said, all of humanity is wearing a mask. All right. We are wearing a mask because we are all divine, but each person presents in different ways. So not because your mask is different to my mask doesn't mean that I am not divine, doesn't mean that I'm not a part of humanity. All right. So that which has become self-conscious must progressively be more and more conscious of itself. And this is where, you know, in the beginning, the causative factors, the cause and effect of the evolutionary progressive way of being, I guess. All right. So it's all like intricately mixed, science and religion. It's pretty much mixed. He said, our foundation of belief is that there is only one mind, one spirit, from which all things came. All right, so. He also, as the inlet, you have immediate access to this mind, to this power. He calls it the universal presence principle, right? Man also has access to the great wholeness and draws as much power from this source. So I guess it's up to us in certain ways how much we accept, how much we are open to, how much belief we have, how much faith we have, how much doubt we have, you know, depending on how much accessibility we have to this intelligent source. Man is not the power, but is an avenue for the power. And so when Lorianne got her inspired ideas, that was an inlet. That was an open and very direct inspiration that she received at that time. And this is how God works. So there are no third parties as such. So yes, people can pray for you, knowing the truth for you. People can help you to remove the doubts and the disbeliefs in your life. And people can encourage you to move forward. But in order for you to feel fully and truly loved and inspired, it is a direct revelation. Directly revealing your own divinity, your own truth, your own strength. And sometimes we may not know it's divinity. Sometimes it shows up as strengths in our lives. We have simple strengths like, you know, honesty. Simple strengths like kindness. Simple strengths like humor. Simple strengths like wisdom, right? We have all these strengths in us, and yet we doubt ourselves a lot because we are not in full and total communication that these strengths are divine strengths. And knowing science of mind, philosophy and principles, if God is in one place, then God is in all places. There is not a spot where God is not. So if I have wisdom, then that wisdom definitely came from the allness there is. I am just showing forth to the world. I am just an inlet. I am just that power surge to the world that, hey, here is God, right? So remember that power would flow through us, that we are inlets to the divine. The divine is all there is, so much bigger than just the one human person that I am. But we have full access to it. And we probably can't take all the power and surges at the same time, but we can certainly pull from it via inspiration, via ideas, via our imaginations, via children. Listen to them, please. They know it all, right? All right? So man's relationship to this divinity is through, obviously, the access which to God, which is direct. Man's mind is an inlet. And I got the thought, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, I remember that by the verse as I was doing this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And it just came to me and it's like, okay, what does that mean? Right? So right there, I knew it was an inspired thing. Now, I couldn't find the verse in the Bible, but do you know the rest of it, the rest of that verse? Does anyone know the rest of that verse? So I think the generalized thing is, behold, I stand at the door. Now, so God is knocking, meaning that God is there. God is, once you open the door, you open the door to your own divinity. All right. So that's what I was inspired to write, you know, as I was doing this. So it's, in other words, God is available at all times. We just need to open. We just need to have to give access to the divinity. All right. This had nothing to do with Judaism. It had nothing to do with Christianity. It has nothing to do with paganism. It has nothing to do with anything. It's just allowing God to be God in our own lives. All right. So our attitude and direction is from which all men came. I don't know what that says. Okay. So, in moving forward, Ernest kind of also blended medicine, with spirituality, with religion, with, you know, the place where science and religion meets. And part of what science and religion is, as of today, is about using the mind to heal the body. More and more doctors are using that philosophy. They call it mindfulness. Ernest didn't know it as mindfulness in the past. They call it, they have another name for it, psychosomatic treatments, where the mind and the body comes together for the perfect healing. So even then, Ernest realized that the divinity of man was made manifest through his body. All right? And so this is all we got. This is all we got to, as humanity, as human beings, to show forth the power of God within us. We can look in our environment and we can see the power of God in every flower, in every petal, in the leaves, in the mechanisms of this universe. But how could we show the power of God in our own lives? How could we be the flower, the petal, that humanity can say, what wonder, what glory, you know? How could we be that person that is open and inspired and show forth that inspiration, that knowingly this has to come from a bigger, wider source, a source of provision, a source of knowing, a source of knowledge, a source of whatever names you want to put to it. All right. So as the spirit heals the mind would automatically heal the body. So it's all in one, one in all. We live life, life lives us. Right. And so this is what Ernest Holmes was trying to say when he came up with how does science meet religion, right? He put our bodies as the physical environment. He put our mind as the mind of God, the divine nature of who we are. All right. So don't forget, do not separate life from living. Find the good in the world. Lavanya,
yeah.
Found the good in the world. She knew it, all right? So the spirit projects through us as humanity. And so even with all the separation and discontent and everything else that's going on now, we have to allow ourselves through kindness, through compassion, through empathy, to find the good in everyone. Because in as much as we want to close off our ears and eyes to certain things and certain people, there is good. It is God. It is the divinity of God that they are living life and life living through them. All right? So if it's good for me, then it has to be good for you and you and you and everybody else. Unfortunately, I'm kidding. No, but seriously. Seriously. Sometimes I put myself in the position and try to be really, really objective. And this is where I am right now. Yes, I have a lot of biases. Yes, 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 I do. Yes, I have prejudice. And everyone does, right? Just the fact that you have an opinion and you hold on to your opinion is a prejudice, right? A lot of the times it's easier to hold on to something we are comfortable with than to say, okay, I'm going to let go and I'm going to open up and I'm going to hear you and I'm going to really try to make a difference for you or for whatever the situation. And this is what Lavanya is doing. She has said, there is no difference. She knows there's no difference. Her mind is not contaminated to that extent to see black and white, to see different cultures. She only knows of the different geographical locations, and she has incorporated everyone into her little heart, into her little God space. And that God space is this little teeny bit of divinity, but guess what? If it's in one spot, it's in everywhere, right? So she has the biggest heart, the biggest opening, the biggest inlet right now, where she's seeing the common good. She's seeing and finding good in the world, all right? So accept humanity, accept that there is good in the world, and just know that as we search our own minds, to be true to our own thoughts. Because our thoughts, guess where they're coming from, right? They are the inspiration. Now, we do have the thoughts that goes kind of crazy and anxious, and they come fast and furious sometimes, all right? But even as you mentioned, Bethany, you know, it is what it is. In the moment, I am sad. Yes, let that go. In the moment, I am frustrated. Yes, I am. Let that go. In the moment, I am satisfied that I am here right now. Yes, let that go. And so that's how we are going to continue to be in the moment, to respect the thoughts that come. Hold on to the ones that you may need at a later, for a later time, or maybe need in the moment. But just know that as we get our inspiration, our ideas, our dreams, that is coming from that bigger place, that bigger area of divinity, that God space, all right? And so in closing, science of mind, 272. So in closing, there is a statement that says in Science of Mind book, under the principles of successful living, Christ means the truth about ourselves. God means the truth about who we are. Being divine is revealing our truth, right? So if we have to make a choice and feel we do not know which or what to choose, we must still be in our own consciousness and know that the spirit within us knows which of these ways is the right and most constructive way, and it will guide us. So even when we have our errant thoughts and or powerful thoughts, sometimes we just don't know where to go with it still. And Ernest is encouraging us to just be still and just know that the place that brought these thoughts into being, which is our divine nature, will find the right and most constructive way in which to guide us into all things. Like what we were talking about with my job. I am feeling comfortable. I'm feeling okay. I am not anxious. And not being anxious is a good sign that I'm still open to the leading of spirit. All right? So when intelligence makes a demand upon itself, it answers its own demand out of its own nature and cannot help doing so. So when we reach out and we say this is what we want, as we reach out, the universe reaches back right away. It's an all-in-one. So when we ask, we asking and getting the answers at the same time. The only difference is that we just need to be still and know what is the most constructive way for us to feel guided. And sometimes that may mean just being quiet. A lot of the times, if I were to go with my anxiety, I would be like, well, 100 days is enough. I can't do this anymore. You know, 4 months is enough. 5 months is enough. This is ridiculous. If you gotta be, up to me and this kind of stuff. And yes, I've gone through that, but I've also gone through, but it has to feel right. Mm-hmm. Right? And I am satisfied with the things that I am doing right now. I'm satisfied with being at Fort Belvoir and making a difference. And I get a lot of feedback, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'm satisfied with being where I am with my patients and knowing that they are also helping me to become who I am. So sometimes we just have to know that as we make demands on God, God is already making, God answers its own demands out of its own nature and cannot help doing so. So we just have to know that there is an answer out there. Mm-hmm. All right? And I'm going to finish just now. And the last one, 273. And this is where I'm going to end. And it's just a reading I'm going to do. So this is on page 273. God is forever doing new things. And when we conceive new ideas, it is an act of the divine projecting itself into creation. There were no flying machines until man made them. The spirit did not have lots of little flying machine models put away in a cosmic cupboard somewhere. Right? But the mind that conceived the possibility of the flying machine is God. The mind we use is the mind of the universe. This is the God in man, and it is only through this mind that we understand anything. This mind in us, responding to us, is the flight of the alone to the alone. In other words, it's me to myself. Mm-hmm. It's God speaking and God answering. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. All right, that's where I'm going to end. I had another reading, but this is it. So trust yourself. Trust that it's you and you alone in a way, right? Because you are the only access to what to all there is. You're the only portal to the divine. And the amount of opening and the amount of inlet you allow is the amount of inspiration and purpose and dreams and everything that would come true for you. Because as you make your demand, the demand is answered in the moment. Thank you very much.